and welcome to Watching It, episode 69.
Nice.
On today's episode, Thor has to fight for his right to party, the Cerritos has a prince, vampires go to court, and Pat still leaves shit around. I'm your host, Donnell, and with me, as always, is Robert. Robert, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing fantastic.
Doing fantastic.
Yeah,
nice week of viewing this week.
Oh, man. This was a fantastic week for our shows.
Yeah.
Fantastic week for some other shows that we're not covering, but we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We are. But before we dive into that, Robert, I got a little something for you here.
I know. I saw you brought a little package in that you wouldn't let me open.
Got you a box. Why don't you go ahead and open that up?
Do we need scissors or knives?
Nah,
or is this all?
I think it's just open up the box.
Oh, that's the biggest fucking coffee cup I've ever seen. No, that's not true because Agit Pie, that motherfucker, has that gigantic Reese's
that fucking Reese's
mug. Oh, my God.
Yeah. 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 It's oh the wrong
God.
One.
We have merchandise.
I ordered these before. Because it took time for them to ship, so I ordered them before we had our critique. So these will be exclusive, though, Robert.
Oh, yeah. These are the collector's item, the wrong print.
Exactly.
But so what I have in my hand is a very large coffee cup. Mm-hmm. Not like Agit Pie level large.
But
I would say like maybe double the liquid amount of a regular coffee cup, a standard coffee cup. It is black on the inside, which I like a lot.
I'd pick that for you.
White on the outside as normal with a sizable handle.
Get
my whole fist in there. And a version of our logo on
it. Yes, a version. A version that Robert doesn't like.
The one that I vetoed. Donnell was playing around with the logos. So I was like, not that one. I guess before I could say anything, he got it printed on some coffee cups.
Yep. So
this is fantastic. Zazzle?
From Zazzle. So on the side, and actually I'm glad that I didn't get this order because now we can get these with the right order, is they also have on the site, but they are sold out. But I was like, oh, I'm getting those. They had like chalices, like full on Viking chalice. And I was like, I need to get a set of those for me and Robert. And now I'm glad they didn't have them in stock because now I can get those with the right logo. But I just thought I was making our logo, and on the site they're like, hey, do you want to print this on something? I was like, well, can I get it printed on? You got your t-shirt, your hoodies, of course, and they had like notepads. I thought about getting us some notepads since we obviously take notes, but I wasn't sure about
it. So can our listeners get these, or are these just special?
So we can
special to commemorate our 69th episode.
So these are just for us, but can go through the site to start, doing some stuff.
So keep an eye out for that in the future. We might get some merchandising, some Chinese t-shirts and coffee cups and baby jerseys and
exactly. But yeah.
Did you bring hot chocolate with you?
I thought about it and I forgot.
Oh, we could have been drinking hot chocolate out of this thing. Oh, that is fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is cool. That is great.
It would be nice to have something for the show.
Yeah, I did this podcast and all I got was this coffee cup.
We could put those
and
together for a guest.
Yeah. See, you come on the show, we send you a coffee cup. All right, Donna, what you been watching?
So what I have been watching is, once again, a lot of YouTube. And one thing I've watched, have you ever heard of GeoGuessers?
GeoGuessers, yeah. So this is like they show you, you're like on a street or something in Google Street View or something?
They snap a photo.
Okay, and you have to guess where it is.
Yeah. These people are insane.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't know how, I'm not sure if you have to have traveled a bunch or what, but dude, I've watched a couple of them. Like, they'll be a picture and it'll be some dude standing somewhere and there'll be like a little bit of a bridge and a tree in the background. And then the guy's like, so, looking at the architecture on that bridge, I think this is probably going to be Singapore.
Yeah.
And then they just start going and then they get to Singapore and they start pulling the map apart. No, it's definitely not up in the mountain. So it's definitely over here. And it takes them about, 10, 15 minutes, maybe longer, but they're editing their stream. But, and then they'll nail it. And then the thing that always shocks me is when they're like, and this one guy's watching him, and he was like, he clicked on the map. He's like, I think it's here. And he submitted it. And he was like 2.5 miles off.
Yeah.
And he was like, damn it. Oh, I messed up. And I was like, the fact that you're able to look at a photo and get within 2 miles of the whole world.
Yeah.
Because this dude I was watching.
Sometimes it'll just be a green field with a cow.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what?
And they still somehow, sometimes I'm like, is this real? Is this real?
Yeah.
And I mean, it has to be. But on the other side of the coin, this is
My theory good is these that guys those are. Videos reverse and they're talking backwards, so they already
yeah, there it is. They already
they're,
know where
they're
it
like,
is.
Well, this one particular town in Stockholm uses that color of signage on their street.
Mm-hmm. one of the ones I watched was this dude, and he like was completely lost until like he's found like one of the shops, and he's like, I know that shop. And then he's like, okay, so that's not going to be in this town because they want to support this and this. And like, he just started like dissecting everything all based off the shop. And I actually got with it. Like when he nailed it, he was like 3 meters from where the photo was taken. I was like, fucking hey. Like, it's impressive. Yeah. But also, I'm just like, how,
I have no, I would
how
never,
do you
I would never be able to
that
find
talent?
Any of that
no.
stuff?
No, oh yeah. No, you give me a photo, I'd never be anywhere close. You give me a photo in my town, and I probably would be able to pinpoint it. I'd be like, I don't know. But yeah, so I've actually watched quite a bit of them recently, just because it's just mind-boggling. It's weird. And like, yeah. I watched this one where they were doing like kind of, you know how like they do chess with professional chess where it's timed and you're like hitting a little clock?
Oh, yeah.
He was doing that, and he had like a clock. And I forget how exactly, like, he wasn't going against somebody else, but there was something that stopped the time. But, like, he was, like, had a set amount of time that he, like, find 5 locations. Like, they were all over the world. And this dude's, like, going through, like, okay, putting stuff together. And, like, he wasn't as getting as pinpoint accurate as other ones because he was on such a crunch. Yeah. But he still was hitting, like, pretty close to the mark. And, like, I think he got it all done in, like, 5 minutes and, like, 7 seconds. And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, how do you? Yeah, so I watched a bunch of those. And then, you know, I'm not sure if I already brought this up, but, football has returned.
Football has returned.
I watch football. I'm a fan of the Seahawks.
It was funny. Like 2 weeks ago, I was going to ask my neighbor, like, hey, who do you think's going to the Super Bowl? Because I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And then the week later, I was like, I heard the football season started. I'm like, well, that would have been an awkward question. Like, ask who's going to the Super Bowl before the season even starts. Yeah.
And so the only thing, I'm actually, like I said, I'm a fan of Seahawks, but I'm actually talking about another team is, so the...
Wait, I don't understand football.
All
right. Right. I mean, I understand how the game is played. Yeah. But like the season, mm-hmm. Why do they do this shit in the winter?
I don't know.
Why don't they do this in the summer?
Because they want, you know, football is a man sport. You got to be tough. So, you know, you're playing through the winter and stuff. That's they like to have.
If
like,
they wanted to play a man sport, game. They play hockey. I mean, they do like 700 games and they mm-hmm. beat the shit out of each other. Mm-hmm. Like, like it's not a man sport unless you lose in teeth.
We do have a hockey team now in Washington.
We do.
But yeah, so the TOX I want to talk about is the Colts.
Where are the Colts from? I don't know where the Colts
Indianapolis,
are from.
Yeah.
Indianapolis, okay.
Yeah. And so over this offseason, they made a trade with another team. Was it the Jaguars? Yeah, No, it was the Eagles, who used to be my other favorite team beside the Seahawks. They're not anymore. But for their quarterback, Carson Wentz. And I have said every year, everyone always talks up Carson Wentz. It's like, he's a great quarterback. But he has, every year I've watched him, he either A, plays like complete garbage, or B,
Donnell, do you know what podcast you're on?
I know. Don't
because
worry.
I came here. I came here to talk about jump engines and dumb vampires and superheroes.
Let me get there. Okay. There's a reason. Okay. Like I said, is this the thing is. So anyways, he either plays like complete garbage or he gets injured.
Okay.
And so in this offseason, the Colts signed a big contract for him. And I said, the first thing I said in there is, I was like, oh, you just paid a bunch of money for a guy to sit on the bench. Because he always gets injured. Well, second game of the season.
He got injured.
He got, like, I was flipping through the channels. Wasn't even expecting it. And all of a sudden, I just was like, saw the Colts game. And I was like, that's not Carson Wentz at quarterback. Where is he? And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, there he is on the sideline. Looked up online, like, Carson Wentz injured his ankle in the second quarter. And I'm just like, see, why would you spend all that money?
I bet whoever's, like, working off the contract for, like, the backup quarterback, mm-hmm. he's probably like, look.
Yeah,
you're gonna be using me a lot.
Yeah, I know. Whoever is the backup quarterback behind Wentz, like, hey, like I need a good deal because you know I'm playing ball. You know I am. Don't act like I'm not. But yeah, so like I said, watch some GeoGuessers, watch some football, and then watched all of our shows, including The Return, which is not in this episode, but The Return
of Doom Patrol. So excited. We're going to do a separate episode just for Doom Patrol because they dropped 3 episodes.
Of course they did.
And of course there'd be a lot to talk about, and this would be like forever long, and we don't want to do that to you. We want you to be able to eat this up in little bites. Mm-hmm. And definitely check out our Doom Patrol episode.
Yep.
Because it was some good shit.
It was some good shit.
Oh, anyway, talk about that later.
So what have you been watching, Robert?
I have been playing Valheim again because they released a big update for that.
Yeah. Yep.
And I've been having fun there. I have been rewatching Babylon 5.
Ooh, okay.
It is a lot.
It is a lot.
It is dense.
That is not a, you know, sit down and like skim through sort of show there.
No, well, I mean, you might think so. I was like getting into, so it's five seasons,
yep.
like 22, 24 episodes a season, 1 hour episodes. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah, any episode that matters. You cannot skim through it.
No, exactly.
You gotta watch everything. Yeah, there's so much subtlety and stuff.
You can there's episodes you can skip or skim, but like there's also a lot of episodes where it's like, well, no, you can't. If you don't see this episode, you won't, even if you've watched the series before, you won't remember.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times, and I decided I was gonna get, I found a website that was like the critical Babylon 5 must watch episodes.
Nice.
You know, like,
yeah.
you can do that for like what is X-Files?
Mm-hmm.
You can just watch just the main story, you know, and none of the filler stuff. So it's like, oh, in the first season, watch 4 out of 22 episodes. And it's like, in the second season, watch 3 out of 22 episodes. And then it's like, okay, watch all the rest of them after that. For those that don't know, Babylon 5 is one of the greatest sci-fi stories ever told.
Yep.
It is very dated in the acting. It is very dated in the set design. It is very dated in the choreography. Just everything about it is dated. There are a couple of actors in it that like you will never recreate that. There's a character named Lando and a character named Jakar, and they're like back and forth in relationship throughout the series, and just the acting from both of them is fucking phenomenal. Like
I must say, I think Babylon 5 is also is very underappreciated in the sci-fi community. I think about, I mean, not maybe not in the sci-fi community, but in the greater sci-fi. Like
I think just a lot of people don't know about it, but anybody who has watched it, it's just like, wow. It is the story is so like larger than life.
Yeah.
Once you get, I mean, it's very mysterious in the beginning, but once you get to like what's actually going on, you're like, holy shit, this is insane. And what's really odd is that It you have this big enemy and it builds up through the first couple of seasons and through season 3, and then they defeat them like about a quarter of the way through season 4. I'm like, well, now you still got all of season 4 and 5, and they go and do other stuff, but you're just like, everything's small compared to
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, it's just, So for those that know, Babylon 5 is this, basically there's this big war that happens, and the humans are about to get destroyed by an alien race, and just as they're about to blow up the entire planet Earth and wipe out the rest of humanity, that alien race surrenders.
Yep.
For reasons no one knows. And they're like, yeah, we're surrendering, but you know, like, you don't get our territory and stuff. We're just going to stop killing you.
Yeah.
And they decide that they're going to build, because it's just a big, giant, you know, galactic war that happens.
Yep.
They're going to build this space station where they're going to bring ambassadors from all the alien races and try and prevent future wars from happening, which fails.
Yep.
You know, but it's just a lot. It's a lot of politics and stuff. And then there's just this bigger thing going on in the galaxy that slowly shapes over time. And you get really crazy time travel episodes and little subtle things that'll happen in season 1 that'll come out as big deal in season 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, just the whole show was basically written before they started filming it. And just a fantastic story.
Yeah.
But dated.
It's definitely dated.
They talk about remaking it. I'm just kind of like, I don't know if you could ever get some
of
those scenes.
Babylon 5. It sounds enticing just because, like you said, it is dated, but would you be able to do it right?
There are some moments that they get out of that just could never be reproduced, because just the acting was perfect. Just the perfect actors and the perfect moments and the perfect writing. And you just couldn't recapture that.
Exactly.
And if you did, it would just be bad.
Yep.
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 And I also checked out the new show Foundation.
Okay. Yeah, that's
they
on
dropped,
my list.
Dropped 2 episodes.
Oh, only 2.
Yeah,
nice.
Thank 2 1-hour episodes, very much set up kind of stuff. Fantastic. They're really going big budget with it.
Nice.
There's something odd about the sound, though. It's like everybody was recorded in a sound studio for their lines, and you can kind of tell.
Hmm.
it, you know, it's kind of like when you watch a show that's been dubbed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you look at their mouths, you can see that it doesn't sync up.
Yeah.
Which is not a problem here. But you can, you know, you can hear it, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're listening to a dub, because it's just like you can tell that the person is not there when they're doing it. And it's something about it throws me off. Foundation is a show based on a book. A series of books, like 20 books by Isaac Asimov. And basically you have this guy, Harry Seldon, who's a mathematician, and he comes up with a formula that can predict the future and movements of people on huge scales. So like trillions of people over thousands of years, he can accurately predict large events. He can't tell you what you're going to have for breakfast tomorrow, but he can say there's going to be an economic crisis here, there's going to be a war there, that kind of large scale stuff. And you have this big empire that's made up of millions of worlds that's been around for tens of thousands of years. And he's like, my math says this is going to fall in 500 years. And of course, the emperor of this multi-million planet galactic empire is like, well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So we're going to put you on trial for even saying that and all sorts of stuff. And basically he comes to the conclusion like, hey, it's going to happen. And what my math says that it's going to take 30,000 years for everything to settle.
Yeah.
For the dust to settle and for the galactic empire to get back to what it was. Right. But if we do these things, we can do that in 1,000 years, which I think in the book it was actually 10,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
But in the show, it's 1,000 years.
So he has this math stuff, but like, does he, like, have something that keeps him alive longer, or?
No, he's going to, no, he knows for
sure. Oh, okay.
He knows that he's going to set up the thing, this thing, the foundation.
So he's not there.
Correct, yeah.
The title comes from
yeah. So the foundation is this thing he wants to set up on a planet far away that's like, this is going to have all of our knowledge and everything, because this fall is going to be so hard that people are going to go back to like being cavemen.
Right.
Which does happen in later books and stuff. And there's, I kind of wish that they had started the story in doing the robot trilogy, which is this weird detective trilogy and stuff. And there's actually some characters that fall into, you know, the long time frame. I mean, the time frame of the novel series is like 100,000 years or something.
Yeah.
It's like insane. Like, there's just the broad strokes, you know, going mm-hmm. through it. But it's really good. And they're fantastic acting,
nice.
Fantastic cast. High budget effects. They have a warp drive, a jump drive, better than anything I've ever seen in any sci-fi, or even described in any sci-fi ever.
Right.
It's like basically they have a ship that generates a black hole, like in it, and the way they show it looks really cool. Like in the first episode, they like blow up a space elevator that like basically almost cuts a planet in half and kills 150 million people. Like, just the scale of it is awesome. It's amazing. The expanse looks like a joke compared to some of the stuff they did in this, as far as like grandiose effects and stuff. It's Star Wars, even maybe, because like you're talking about like Trantor, this planet, this main planet. You like Coruscant is, you know, just, you know, papered over in metal. This is like paper over in metal 100 times over.
Yeah,
like just it's worth checking out if you're looking for really hard sci-fi, which we haven't had in a little while,
mm-hmm.
Not since The Expanse ended or finished up its season.
Yeah, but
this is the show to watch. This is going to go somewhere, and I think it's worth checking out. We're not going to talk about it on this show.
Yeah,
it's not really a show for us, and we're covering too much stuff already.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely worth checking out.
Nice.
But that's it. Other than that, filling every moment I can with Valheim. Nice. So,
I did forget because it was just last night. I did have one other thing to talk about for watching it, or what I've been watching. And Netflix seems to have picked up a bunch of these series from like Japan and South Korea. But a series that just came out this week called Squid Game.
And I saw something. I saw that and I was like, what is that? Why do I care?
Like, it popped up on my Netflix and I just was like, I was eating dinner, so I couldn't be, because I still had to watch some of our shows, but I needed to take or I need to, I can't take notes and eat dinner at the same time. Yep. So I don't whenever I'm
multitasking
on something else. So I just threw it on just on a whim. I was like, whatever. It is bizarre, but I actually like it.
So is it a show?
It's a
or
show.
A game show?
Okay. It's a show. And basically the premise is a bunch of people, I can't remember how people were, and they're not just from, like, it's a South Korean show, and you either watch them with subtitles or dubs, but they're people from all over, like, it's not just Koreans mm-hmm. or whatever, but basically people, everybody, I mean, it's something that could happen in real life, honestly, no, but, because there's a bunch of people basically hard, up on hard times, you know, lost your job, don't have okay. money, and so they're brought into this game, which they're told is a game, but they're not allowed to know any of the rules. And they're told before they enter, like, if you want out, no one's forcing you to do this. You can go.
That's always a good start.
You can be out. But if you stay in the game and you play by the rules, you will win money. But we can't tell you what the game is before it starts.
Huh.
And so, you know, and of course, some people do bow out, and they're honestly the smart ones because, yeah, it's a fucked up game. Like, they're playing things like Red
Rover. The game is don't think about the game, and they're, I just failed.
They're playing games like Red Rover and that sort of stuff, but, like, it's all with a sinister twist. Like, basically, in Red Rover, if you're caught moving, or no, not, it's Red Light, Green Light, sorry. But if you're caught moving, like, you get shot, and, like,
this, oh,
like,
shit.
And it's like, but they, like I said, the first person, when the first happens, like, no one knows that that's what happens. And so, like, they're playing, and, like, the guy accidentally, like, stumbles forward, and his head just explodes, and the chick behind him is, like, freaking out, and it's just like, yeah, but it's weird, and it's twisted, but I like the, I've only watched one episode, so I okay. can't speak of the only, I liked it, and I definitely want to watch more of it, and I'll give you more of a report next week after I've watched more of it, or maybe all of it, because it is Netflix, and all of it came out already. It is right now on Netflix, it's in the top 10 in the U.S., I think it was at number 2.
I think that's because there's nothing else.
That is true. But it was entertaining, at least the first episode was. So yeah, check that out. And actually it looks like a lot of other people checked it out since it was in the top 10 of Netflix.
Oh, come on, you know Netflix is just like, this is the show, put it on our exactly. list. Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, watch that. But let's get into our shows, Robert.
Yeah.
What we've been watching. Or I guess all of us what we've been watching, but we've been watching and we're gonna talk about. So let's talk about What If.
Yes.
Let's talk about What If.
This was
if.
Fun.
So I read the synopsis for this episode, and when I first read the synopsis, I was like, is this going to be a throwaway episode? This one, like I said, it did, because, you know, kind of got with What If, we've gotten some, like, really, you know, good ones, really serious ones, or, you know, covering some interesting content, and then we've also had some kind of fumble ones, and I had put this one in the category of fumbled. Like, this was like, it's just okay. Thor's
before you child. Saw it.
Before I saw it.
Oh, okay.
But this one was like, this was just, it was just a good time. It was just a lot of fun. Yeah.
I would put this below, like, third from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But by no means should that, like,
yeah,
like, the distance between this and the second from the bottom is wide.
There's a wide berth there.
So basically, the change is that Odin doesn't take Loki as a baby.
Gives Loki back.
Leaves him as a frost giant, which he returns later and is awesome. As a giant frost giant.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the questions I had is why, like, what kept Loki from becoming a frost giant? Oh, Odin
Force. He put a spell on him that made him small and humanoid.
Okay.
Instead of being a giant.
I was like,
what
kept him from being a frost giant? If he is, I mean, they always say he's a frost giant, so I'm like, what?
Nope. Okay. Odin enchantment is my understanding. And because of that, Thor, I guess, doesn't have that influence and just becomes like a super jock party boy.
Yeah, yeah. He got the hair for it. I mean, all that says to me, I guess I've said, if you're fans of this show, you know, I am a fan of Loki. I've liked him throughout the whole MCU, even before he started turning good. But I always had hopes that he would, you know, kind of become an anti-hero, or, you know, at least somewhat good, which he ultimately does. Oh, crap. I forgot I actually had news for this episode.
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
But anyways, but yeah, I've always liked Loki. But it just, to me, so it's even more pivotal that how important Loki is, because without Loki, we don't get Hero Thor, And that's I mean, without Hero Thor, we don't get, you know, people, the part of the Avengers and stuff. So Loki is very pivotal to the world. He has done a lot, even though he was a bad guy. He has done a lot for the betterment of the MCU or that universe.
I the only thing I would have liked is if they had tied this in a little more with maybe like T'Challa is Star-Lord.
Yeah,
and they had like I wanted to see, because they had a lot of great characters that came back in here.
Yep.
I love Howard the Duck,
and I know so there's been talks but they haven't worked on it. But yeah, we need some sort of Howard the Duck content. I want a movie. This is like, or a
this
series.
Is nah, this is the content I like. I like Howard the Duck just showing up in the background.
Some, I know.
As a side, he's
showed
side
up
character.
Twice in What If so far. He's showed
when
up.
When was the last time you watched the movie Howard the Duck?
No, that's exactly why I want something else. Is that movie was a travesty. But I would love, now that there's, you know, actual money behind it and a good production company, I would love something Howard the Duck, a series,
okay.
something. That's what I saw.
That shit would have to be rated R.
It'd have to be.
We've got the Deadpool and X-Men trying. We're slowly going to work their way into the MCU. Yeah,
that's part of Deadpool, my news.
Deadpool and Howard the Duck. Ooh. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
That would be a good time.
But I love that they get drunk and marries Darcy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love... And, but here's the thing is, later on in the episode, when they run into him again, Darcy doesn't like outright reject him. Where part of me, like, in my mind, even though we don't get to see any more of the universe, in my mind, Darcy and Howard the Duck stick it out. Like, they don't get a divorce. They stick it out, you know. And
Darcy's chill. She's like, all right, you know.
I was like,
and hey, I feel like Howard the Duck, he's got some morals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he would believe in the institution of marriage.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, he was obviously more upset with Darcy for, you know, bellowing on him than she was, you know, Mrs. the Duck.
Yeah.
But I know, I just love when he's actually out there. It's like, hey, it's a happy hour. You want to get some half-price nachos? It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, they had Grandmaster show up. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So here's the thing I wrote down is it seems like, but then they always, at the end, they're all renting it. It seems like the universe is where the Avengers didn't form. A lot of the time, because like I said, we have T'Challa being Star-Lord, and that was a much better outcome than anything in our universe, Thanos, and stuff, until, like I said, the end and Ego getting hooked up with his son, which could turn traumatic. And then in this one, like, we saw so many different guys from the thing that were obviously living better lives.
Yeah.
Like, Nebula was at the party, and we know the Nebula in our universe, she ain't going to no parties. She's a VIP person. I mean, for most of the time. Korg at the party, but he was a slave. Grandmaster just having a good time. Drax was there having a good time, meaning that his wife and daughter probably aren't dead, because how could you be having a party if that sort of stuff? And Shooter, I can't remember. The giant fire dude who ends Ragnarok.
He's
just chilling with Thor. So I'm just like, I don't know. This universe, you know, Thor not having Loki as a brother and the Avengers not forming, actually.
They are the villains, because basically.
Yeah.
The party gets so hard that it becomes an alien invasion on Earth, and they start destroying
everything. I love the
graph
where, like, the party is spreading. It's like seeing these little blips appear all over it, like some sort of pandemic again.
So much so that it becomes a code red, and they have to bring in Captain Marvel.
It just raises the same thing I've always said, that one of the biggest flaws of the MCU is... And it's just the way they shot the movies. They could have done it better. Is making Captain Marvel after making all of the other stuff, except for, you know, Endgame and stuff, just raises so many questions about. So when New York was under attack by aliens coming out of the sky, that was enough to hit the button. When Ultron was when there was a civil war between your heroes who are set to keep you safe, and you're like, oh, this could be problematic. That wasn't enough to hit the button. And it's like, it's always, why wouldn't you have hit the button, Nick Fury? You got the button, hit the button.
But she's super overpowered in this episode too. Like,
so a part of me feels like, this was even though Brie Larson didn't voice her character, they got a lot, like Natalie Portman, of course, Thor, Darcy was what's her face. For Grandmaster, they even got Jeff Goldblum to voice his person. For Schiff, Lady Schiff, and not Hera.
The Warriors Three. Name?
What's Thor's mother's? Not Hera.
Hala. No, I can't remember her name.
I have her written down. Where is it? Frigga, there we go.
Frigga,
yeah, they got the same people in the movie. They got like, even the little tiny roles, like Drax and Nebula. they went and got those. I know it's Disney. I know I've said this so many times, but it's mind-boggling. It's like, hey, we need to just say one line. And we just for this episode. And they're like, all right, cool, sign me up. Like, yeah. You don't say no, obviously. But yeah.
They probably don't even come into the studio. They probably got set up at home. Oh, set ups at home or something.
Mm-hmm.
I love Frigga. She's because Odin's going into the Odin sleep.
Yeah.
And she's just like, just sleep. Everything will be fine. Rest up. As soon as he goes to sleep, he's like, spa day.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is, I feel like this was somewhat, because I'm not sure if you've heard, but like, there's been this thing with Brie Larson where she has argued with other cast members of the MCU about, I mean, everyone knows that Captain Marvel is arguably the strongest thing, but she's like argued even in multiple interviews about, well, obviously Captain Marvel is the strongest. Like, no one's even like really
nobody cares
that and stuff. And I just felt like this episode was a little bit like here, fine, there, because
it's
that's
not
the one,
real, Brie.
The one they always put up is Thor. They always like, what about Thor and stuff? And she's like, well, I'm stronger than Thor. But anyways, and so I felt like this episode was just kind of giving her that, like, here it is, there you go, you're beating up Thor.
but she was overpowered in this. Like, she hit him so hard, mm-hmm. she knocked him across the ocean.
No, he did the same to her, though. Remember, oh, knocked...
That's true, that's true. I want to know, could Captain Marvel pick up the hammer?
See, that I don't think she could, is my theory, because the hammer isn't about strength, it's about, you know, your alignment. And while there's still questions about Thor, but I think it's because Thor is given the hammer, you have to be like a very, very, like, the only people we've seen be able to pick it up was Vision, who was pure because he was innocent, because he was just a robot.
He's basically an elevator.
Yeah. And then Captain America, but that wasn't until like a lot of journey and progress, where I don't think Captain Marvel could, even though she's not a bad person. And that's actually one thing I wrote down, is when he puts her in a timeout, I was like, why did you pick up the hammer? Like, when she was lying down and he puts the hammer on her, it's like, you could have kept your party going and just left her pinned to the ground with a hammer on her chest. And so I was like, why'd you pick up the hammer? Had a lot of fun with this. I there was just so many good lines. I just love the, did you boom? Like, no, I didn't boom. I only boom in private. It's like, what the hell does that mean?
I like when he's like, no one's going to stay and help clean up.
Yeah. I also love, it was a callback to, you know, the actual movie, but I love when they're at Jane's apartment waking up and you hear Thor. I'm like, oh, someone left a rabbit in the sink. And I'm talking about Rocket Raccoon. I was like, yeah, but yeah, this was just a really fun episode. I enjoyed it.
This was unexpected. I wasn't expecting this, especially after the kind of the serious stuff we've had lately.
The ending of this episode, which we're never going to get to see, but you saw the ending, right?
Yes.
Where Ultron/Vision shows up with the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I want to watch that.
That's what keeps happening in What If. It's like, can we get that? Can we get that episode or movie? Like, I would like to see how that plays out. But I feel like that's the thing, is they're teasing the stuff that we're never going to get to see. Like, I feel like that's the whole point. It's like, ooh, what if Ultron/... Like,
that's gonna be season two.
It was very interesting, too, because, like, it was clearly Ultron's body, but then, like, the helmet opens up and Vision's inside. So I'm like, he's both or he's not?
Well, because remember, he was originally trying to... Like, a Vision's body was originally supposed to be an Ultron.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like a shell or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think that they did. That was a little weird that they put him in Vision, Ultron in Vision's body.
No, Vision in Ultron's body. But it's how they did it. Because you see Ultron at first, and he has all the Infinity Stones except for the Mind Stone, and then all of a sudden the helmet opens up.
Yeah, but then he's also like wrapped in an Ultron costume.
Yeah.
That was weird.
That was weird. But yeah, it was just a good episode.
I want to see Ultron Vision with the stones go up against zombie Thanos with the stones.
Yeah, there we go. Let's get interesting. So real quick sidetrack, because I just remembered I had a couple of actual, we haven't had news on this version of the podcast for a bit, but I got just a couple things that stuck out. So one is, you talked about, you know, Deadpool, the X-Men, eventually
all right,
there's
the spoiler
MCU
stuff. Skip ahead like 15 seconds.
Yeah, well, it's not, it's the thing is, so Patrick Stewart has been seen, has been seen on the set of Doctor Strange the Multiverse of Madness.
In
his Xavier wheelchair.
Nice.
So it sounds like...
Boy, I'm surprised they aren't trying to hide that more.
Yeah, I know. I just...
I wonder if that got leaked on purpose or if...
So the other one is just more about Doctor Strange too, but people have also been seen on set. I mean, they're not surprised, but just nice to know confirmation. Thomas Hiddleston, okay. Owen Wilson, and Sophie D.
Thomas Hiddleston, you're so Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston. I don't know. It says Thomas Hiddleston on this page for whatever reason. And then Sophie DiMartino, which was sees female Loki.
Oh, okay.
Yep, yep. So they've all been seen on the set of Doctor Strange too. So it could
sound like they already finished wrapping up primary shooting for Multiverse.
No, according to this.
All right, well, they better jump on it because that's coming out soon.
It's not coming out until 2022, man.
Well, yeah, but it's like early 2022, right?
I think it's like summer 2022.
Oh.
And then the last thing is, and this is just because we watched him in a movie that we both like, and he's been in a couple other things. From He Never Dies, we have iconic rock star, as they put him. Where's his freaking name? So I can't remember his name.
Chris Rollins,
there it is. No, Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins, there we go.
Is joining the Marvel Universe.
Ooh, yes. I wonder who he's going to be.
He is playing Dedulus.
Dedulus, I don't know who that is.
Neither do I.
That sounds like a Doom
but
Patrol character.
But he is a villain in the upcoming, so he's not going to be in person, but in the upcoming animated series, New Gen.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just thought it was because we both, you know, like I said, Henry Rollins, we liked him in He Never Dies.
So I guess that's confirmation that the Multiverse of Madness is going to bring in the mutants.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we know.
Yep. It's going to be good.
It is going to be good.
It's going to be good.
It better be good.
It better be good.
You know what? I'd really like, honestly, soon for the, maybe in like 2023, for there just to be a movie so abysmal that it just crashes everything and I can just stop. You know? Because look, I've only got so many years left in me.
Yeah.
And I want to get to the end of the MCU.
Yeah.
I want it to end before I do.
Yeah,
I don't
want
like Avengers 20 to be coming out and I'm on my deathbed and I don't get to see that
and
shit.
You don't get to see it.
You know?
You're like, no.
At some point there's gonna be a show I'm watching and I'm not gonna get to finish it. I'm not gonna get to see the end. I'm gonna die before that.
I mean, what you need to do, Robert, you just need to give yourself a cutoff. Just be like, when I hit...
You know what I need to do? I need to get powerful enough that I can be like, dude, give me the episodes before I die. Like, early. Mm-hmm. You know, like Michelle Obama asking to see the whole season of Downton Abbey a year early. Like, really? That's what's... You're going to waste your collateral on Downton Abbey?
I mean, you're talking about doing it too, Robert. If you had that sort of clout, don't be dissing her. She did what she had to do.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like doing it for like an Avengers movie.
Downton Abbey is somebody's Avengers, Robert.
Oh my God.
All right. What We Did in the Shadows.
This was a great episode,
this was
too.
A really good episode.
This was
a lot of fun and just, I love Guillermo playing the mastermind and then realizing he fucked up.
Yeah, it was so perfect. It was so perfect.
Like, I wrote down at first, I wrote just like, ooh, this is Guillermo's like master plan. He's finally moving the shadows. And then certainly like 5 seconds later, like, nope. Just loved that so much with him.
Yeah, so we got two storylines basically going on here. They do converge though. They've got to do a tribunal day where they've got to do all these trials of vampires that have done bad things, and then you've got
Boys' Night.
Yeah, what is that vampire's name?
Oh, Laszlo.
Laszlo.
And
Colin Robinson.
And once again, not that we got to bring up, but once again, he friggin' killed it.
Oh, yeah.
I love
how Colin Robinson just, he gets put in his place by the pillow salesman guy.
Yeah. I was like, this pillow salesman dude is so bad that they're actually interested in Colin's game. Like, at one point, he saw pillows, like, hey, whose turn is it? I actually wrote down, like, is Sean Energy Vampire?
Yeah,
like,
there was a moment where I was questioning that as well. Man, so Laszlo has a lot of human friends.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know if we've seen this guy before.
No,
though.
This is the first time we've seen Sean, at least from what I can tell.
Yeah, I wonder why he has so many human friends. It's very interesting.
Hey, Laszlo likes to get around, man. In more ways than one, because I also like they made it very, I was like, Laszlo's down to get strange with anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Laszlo's like,
No, that is pretty funny where they're having like the heart-to-heart and he starts to hit
like,
on him.
I haven't even told my wife. He's like, oh, okay. It's already. He just like goes in
mind
for the
wipes
kiss. And he's like, oh, that's not... You will not remember trying to seduce me.
Colin Robinson needs to be a door-to-door vacuum salesman.
Oh, yeah. I love when they show up to the guy's night and he just steps in front of the TV to talk to everybody, just like, and they're like, "Hey, buddy, you make a better better door than a window." It's like, "Yeah, I've been told that before." It's just like, he's just so great.
So the guy pillow. At first he was just talking about the pillow, and he kept talking about the pillow. I'm like, is he selling the pillow?
Oh, I knew he was selling the pillow. The way he kept bringing it up. I just love how I was like, "How you been sleeping?" He's like, "Oh, I've been sleeping great." Like, "Oh, I know what you mean, but I've been sleeping like crap." Like, that's not what he said.
I put you down for like 25 pillows.
I love when he's like, I figured, because I guess also, what's his name was supposed to be there? The other dude vampire.
Nandor,
because he's like, "I thought Nandor would be good for at least 40. He's a big, big sleeper." And he's like, and then at least, he couldn't remember Colin's name, but he's like, I think he's like something Robinson. I can't remember. He said something funny, but something Robinson. At least get 10. And he's like, he just let me down. God. And then I love, he's like, "You haven't sold it." He's like, "Well, I've sold 3. He's like, "Well, my wife was interested in one, but you know, can't sell it to her because, you know, guy pillow." He's like, "It's actually legally binding." I'm like, what type of product are you trying? You're not gonna move no pillows.
I like when Laszlo goes out, he goes out drinking. They're mm-hmm. like, he must have gone bar hopping or something.
Yeah.
He's got blood on him, and he's like clearly been drinking drunks. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's got his blood liquor. He can't handle it. He's gonna throw up. Oh, man. But the really good story was Guillermo.
Switch back over to the other storyline. I actually like the part where, like, at the beginning of the episode, where, like, they're walking down the tunnel, and then Guillermo comes out, and he's like, "I've been here for 20 minutes. And then I just love the other vampire chick comes out, like, "I've been here for 30 minutes, standing here behind you quietly." And then, like, how he, like, starts talking about, like, the council day, and how, like, it gets, like, very sexual and stuff. He's like, you know, you do some stuff, you do some butt stuff with him. And then they're like, "What? No." It's like, "Oh, no, it's really
anything goes. Anything goes. I like that they have human resources.
Yeah.
And the human resources, just do whatever you want.
Yeah, do whatever you want. It's all fair. Should have
been vampire resources, not human resources.
Yeah.
So basically, they're fighting over who's going to be on the throne. And Guillermo's like, I'm going to be on the throne.
He's like, "Well, I, you know, maybe you both stand." He's like, you know, I love how he's also like, no, that wouldn't work. We wouldn't want to do that. You know, does the whole, it's a bad idea. You don't want to hear it. And he's like, "What if I was on the throne? They wouldn't know." He's wearing that hood.
But then we have Derek show up.
We have the Derek new vampire. Show up.
I really hope that Derek is around for a while.
Derek is Derek's a terrible vampire. I just love
him. Well, no one was around to teach him.
But most of the stuff he does, I'm like, dude, just, like, have you never seen a vampire movie? Or
well, and he was a vampire hunter. Well,
that was the other thing also. It's like, but I feel like Derek
The problem is he's seen too many vampire movies.
Maybe.
He's like, "I got this at Hot Topic." You know, it's fast fashion, but, you know.
Yeah. that's my thing. The only thing I can think about with Derek being a vampire hunter is I don't think he went out to be a vampire hunter. I think he stumbled into a group of vampire hunters. And he's like, because Derek seems like the kind of guy who just goes with the flow. He really just seems like, "What's going on here? You guys going to rob a liquor store? All right, I'm in." Like, that seems like Derek kind of vibe, and I feel like that's how it was with the vampire hunters too. Was he's mind his own business, stumbled into a group of vampire hunters, and he's like, "I guess I'm a vampire hunter now."
Okay, so sidebar. Mm-hmm. In order to watch Babylon 5, I finally got an HBO Max subscription.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. By the way, they have like the worst interface ever. It is abysmal.
I've been using it for.
It's like, come on, guys. Netflix has been around for quite some time.
Yeah, no, just copy Netflix.
Yeah, I need to be able to use arrows on my keyboard to skip fast forward and turn the volume up and down. How hard is it?
I don't know if I have to tell you this now that you're talking, but you're able to set up multiple profiles on HBO Max. And so after all this week, I was like, "Robert's talking about getting HBO Max." And I was like, you know, I already, like, my friend Mike, we at least do a trade, but like, I have a profile on his Netflix. He has a profile on my Hulu. I was like, "Why don't I just set Robert up with a profile?"
Yeah, why don't you? But I bought it now.
I know. That's the thing. Now I'm just like, anyway.
I got a promotion. I've got some money. I wanted to watch Babylon 5. I'll get it.
Living it.
But the reason I bring it up, Wellington Paranormal is on there.
Yes, it is.
And I did not know that. I added
it to my list.
And now I got to start watching that shit. I remember watching the first season. I was able to find a download for it, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it's 5 seasons in now, so I need to get on that.
Yeah.
Oh. Super excited. Well, for those that don't know, in the original movie, What We Do in the Shadows, there's a scene where there's a couple of scenes where these two cops show up from the Wellington Police Department, you know, investigating things. And it's obviously vampire stuff, but they don't know it's vampire and werewolf stuff. they got their own show that's shot in New Zealand.
Yep.
And it's very low budget at first, and it's fantastic for what it is. But it's got 5 seasons now, apparently, on HBO Max, and I got to check it out.
Yep.
And you should too.
Yep, exactly. Before we get back to Derek, I actually like the case they had before Derek, just because, like, that guy who, like, tricked all the vampires into coming out to the
side. Yeah.
And the one thing I just comment on is, like, they're in an RV. And
there's like five of them.
There's five of them. And each of them, like, after the first, maybe even two.
Yeah.
Like, why do they keep coming out of the RV? Like, oh, what's going on here? Ah! And I was like, why are you coming out of the RV?
I like when they put Derek in the sunroom,
mm-hmm.
and he gets accidentally touching the sun. And Guillermo's like, I thought that'd be obvious. Yeah. Don't do that.
I was like, right before they send it to Derek, I just love this line where they're like, okay, so I feel like because we let the other guy off with a warning, we should go all out. Like, yeah, just balls the wall, just go fucking crazy. I just love that.
Man, okay, if I was a vampire and I'm allergic to the sun, it would kill me.
Yeah.
But I can just cover up.
Yeah.
I would carry a blanket with me all the time.
I'd get
a big cape.
I'd get a cape made out of blackout curtains.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. Yeah.
Just in case I get trapped somewhere where there's sunlight, I can just wrap myself up in it and be safe for the day.
Yep. Because of that, his case goes through terrible. And Guillermo feels bad because he abandoned Derek, because Guillermo also ended up with the vampire hunters temporarily.
I'm glad they did a little flashback, because I totally forgot about where that character came from. And like,
I was like, what? This guy's been in it before. But yeah, I did remember when they showed that. So Guillermo wants to help him out. And I actually got to switch back to the other storyline with Sean, because Laszlo
going to night court
to be his lawyer. And I love Laszlo's little monologue thing where he's talking. He's like, yeah, you know, I practiced a little law back in the day. I was on the Queen's Council in my day. He's like, you know, mainly defending myself on matters of solicitation and pornography. I just love like that.
He's some,
like,
pigs and horses.
Yeah. He's like, mainly defending, like, that's his whole lawyer background.
I want to know where they find this art. Because he says, like, oh, I used to defend pigs in court. And they showed an old-timey drawing. Do you think they do the drawings?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you get some, you know, you hire some local talent to do
okay. Art. I was thinking maybe they just found them.
My thing is, that's the other thing I think about, though, too, is, like, it's for these weird arts. It's like, is there a place you could buy that stuff? Like, when they're not using it? Like, can I
buy a
I thought for 1 second when they're coming in the court, because Laszlo came in first, I thought that somehow Colin had gotten himself hired as a lawyer for the other guy. And I mean, it was still fun, but I was really looking forward to Laszlo versus Colin in court. I thought that would have been awesome. But no, Colin's just his paralegal. I just mainly drag around all his files, which is predominantly pornography.
I didn't really care for the court scene too much.
No.
It was a little too much Laszlo.
But Laszlo, you know, does terrible. Goes on a bender with Sean. But they lose him, obviously. And gets drunk. But that's what I just don't get what Guillermo's train of thought was. Like, Laszlo just failed in court. He's wasted out of his mind. Why'd you be like, oh, Laszlo can defend Derek and get him out of his sentence? Like, I don't know what Guillermo was thinking with that.
Well, and he gets him off because they just decide to give him a win.
Yeah.
Because he's drunk.
That's the thing is they even say, like, Laszlo's first win. So it's like, oh, so all his other practicing and defending himself obviously went wrong.
But they all agree that they're going to take Derek under their wing.
Mm-hmm. Which I hope that means.
Oh, he better be around.
Well, they all put it on Laszlo. Was going to have under his wing. I think Laszlo's a great teacher for Derek. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you see the mid-credit scene?
Yes.
Why is Derek selling guy pillows?
Because he was helping out his friend, Sean.
Yeah.
Laszlo's help. He's like, I know how to do this. So Laszlo's
instructing.
He's going to send his familiar or his vampire apprentice to go out and sell the pillows. And he's doing it in a magician's costume.
I know. I just love his thing. It was like, whoa, whoa. Like, he uses his powers to stop him.
Yeah, he mind melds him or whatever. He's like, it would be really nice if you weren't a dick right now.
Yeah. Which I put down, like,
just buy the pillow and let me eat you.
A vampire is the perfect person to run a MLM or a multi-level marketing thing. Like, they're the perfect. You just sew up somebody's house. No one wants to buy that shit, but because you're a vampire, you can just mind meld them into buying it. Like, you'd be killing it in those things. Lazo, I mean, not that he has a want to, but him doing that guy pillow presentation, he'd be selling those pillows by a bucket load, man.
Well, you could just make them buy the pillows.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, they're perfect for it.
And then eat them.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, fantastic episode. Yep. There were like I said, I'm not a big fan of the court scene.
Guillermo was fantastic. Colin was great. Derek was good. I liked a lot of the guys hanging out scenes, just because it was the awkward blend of, you know, just normal like blue collar guys,
yeah,
and then Colin and Lazo just hanging out.
It's like, you know, that Bill got laid off. Like,
yeah, and I also like Colin not being the most insufferable person in the room.
Yeah.
Like, that's another thing. It's a rarity. Like, even Colin was like, yeah, the guy's like talking about, like, didn't you, what was that about your friend getting laid off? Like, even Colin's trying to steer the conversation away from these pillows. That's when you know it's bad. It's when even Colin is.
You can tell that actor's so good, because he was just, you could tell like how upset he was that he couldn't feed.
Yeah.
Because he was getting shown up by this guy selling stuff. All right, let's talk about some Lower Decks.
Let's talk about Lower Decks.
This was another fantastic episode. This was
a great episode.
Let me ask you this. Name of the actor that played the fucking computer.
I don't have
Jeffrey fucking Combs.
Really?
Jeffrey Combs, yeah, who played...
nice.
No, I can't remember. He's played like five characters on Star Trek, and like specifically mm-hmm. Deep Space Nine. He played like two or three, and... yeah, just fantastic. Love him. Love this actor. Love Jeffrey Combs. Yeah. Been in so much stuff that I like. He did. He voiced the Question in the Justice League Unlimited show.
Someone give me a Question. HBO Max. Give me.
While Jeffrey Combs is still alive, because no one else could play him.
Just give me the Question.
He's in a mask. He doesn't have to. Yeah.
Yeah. Just give us the Question. Just if you're out there listening, give us the Question.
Anyway, playing the computer was fantastic choice.
I love how easily in this opening scene, Ransom almost falls for it. Like, the computer's like, I bet you couldn't throw me into that computer. I was like, oh, you bet me, dude. For crying, it's like it's been 2 seconds.
He's like, hey. but we get basically two solid storylines here. Mm-hmm. We get Boimler and Mariner, they get marooned stranded on a planet trying to take this computer to the Datestrom Institute, which I thought was an interesting pull-in.
Mm-hmm.
Datestrom Institute is a website where you can go and look up theories and basically a wiki for Star Trek.
Star Trek, yeah.
And then we have the storyline
of Rutherford and his engineer, or head engineer.
Well, I mean, I really think it's not really a story about Rutherford, in my opinion. Yeah, it's a story about Billups, the chief engineer, and his whole, I guess he's a prince.
He's a prince. Of what I love is he's a prince on a planet that it's not even
a planet. It's a Renfair ship.
No. They have a planet.
Do they have a planet? I just saw the ship.
What they said, though, is that it was a planet that had dragons. And a bunch of Renfair people saw that and took over. I'm like, so you fight a planet with dragons, and a bunch of Renfair people are like, we're taking over this planet. We're going to live out our fantasy. Like, I think the thing that he's a prince of is a fake royalty that they made up when they took over this planet.
As part of the Renfair.
Yeah. And I'm just like, that is great. That is friggin' great.
And of course, the way that you become king is being the prince and having sex. So we find out that Billups is a virgin.
Yep.
And he's planning to be a virgin for his whole life.
Virgin for life, or else he has to be the king.
A stone cold badass.
So I found, and I guess maybe you could say why later in the episode, but I found it so weird. It was so out of character. At the beginning of this episode, when they're all like, before they break off in their groups to do their own storyline, Boimler's talking about his mission to go fight some centipedes or whatever.
Yeah.
And Manor is talking it down. Like, oh, that's not that exciting. It's like, Manor, you're all about the crazy missions and the fighting and the combat.
Yeah, she was going.
Yeah, I know. But I
think she just doesn't want Boimler to. I think she, that's the episode. It's kind of them dealing with that. That she doesn't think that he's quite there yet.
Yeah.
And him proving that, he is. Yeah.
Like I said, and she's done this with Tindy this season. She's done it with Boimler. She did it last season. Like, I just get sick of her always imposing her will on her friends. Just because I'm like, you don't know everything. Yeah. Like he shows, and even actually in the episode with Tindy, he actually ended up making Tindy goes all psycho and, you know, almost killing the whole ship. Like, it's like, stop, man, or just stop trying to be in charge of your friends. You don't do a good job of it.
Yeah, I think that's going to come up at some point where that's going to build up and explode. They're going to have an intervention with her or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So two best moments in this episode is a bard cast using a lute to block the comms.
Yeah, yeah.
like the lute's some kind of weird tech and stuff, and when you strum it, they can't talk, which was just hilarious to me.
Yeah.
And Rutherford running in and go, did his kingdom come?
Yeah. you don't watch Archer, but on the show Archer, there's all the time, because like when people say things like let's just, you know, I'll throw one out there, like, oh my gosh, that made me, or I can't believe you made me come, like if you're saying to go somewhere. Yeah. But then, you know, they always say, when you say something like that, because it can be construed sexually, they always say phrasing and stuff. And honestly, the chief engineer, I kept like, phrasing, dude, because the way he kept talking about his mom and wanting him to have sex, it really sounded like his mom wanted to have sex with him.
Yeah. Not
that, like the way he was just like, yeah, but she's trying to trick me into having sex. I'm like, dude, you gotta phrase that better, because it really sounds like...
I wouldn't put it past his mom.
Wouldn't either. Like, after he realized, like, yeah, if that's the only way she can get him to be king, she might be willing to go that route. But yeah, I just like, he, like, multiple times when he talks about his mom and her plans to have him sex, the way he says it, I'm just like, dude, no. Sounds like you're... But yeah, I wholeheartedly am on board with Boimler and Manor. Black licorice is shit.
I'm not a fan of licorice in general.
I'm not a fan of licorice. I will eat it sometime, but I'm not a fan. But black licorice, I don't understand it in the slot. There's nothing appealing. Like, I don't. It's just that. It's like, yeah, it's just nasty. I don't even know. I wrote down, and then of course it turned out early. I wrote down there in my notes earlier, but I was like, I'm guessing Manor got Boimler reassigned, and of course he did.
Yeah.
We get to see that, but I totally agreed with Manor, although which is a rarity for me, when they were leaving the ship, and Manor was like, why don't we just bury it in a hole? I was like, don't carry that evil computer with you all over the place.
I like when they do bury it, and the computer's like, I have rights.
I love the crabs. Crabs, they got me. It's like taking off with them.
So they do a moment in the show where they try and pretend that Rutherford is dead, mm-hmm. which I was like, well, that's not going to be true.
Yeah.
Or he's going to see the Black Mountain.
Yeah. Yes.
Make his way back.
That would have been fun.
Thinking he's going to be like, I got to work on the bridge crew now. I came back from the dead. I thought they were going to do a little bit more with Tindy being like, oh my God, he's dead. I love him, kind of stuff, because they're still playing around with that.
Yeah.
And obviously it's going to get there at some point.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like they're just teasing it, but it's never going to happen.
Hmm.
I don't know. We'll see.
Give it to us.
I love at the end when Boimler, you know, he tricks the computer. He freaking shot Manor.
Yeah,
with a stun phaser, but still shot Manor. But then I love when it turns out Boimler tricked it, and he's like, I'm connected to the whole navigation. He's like, dude, you're hooked up to that dimmer switch. And then he's like, I'll get you. And I wrote down, like, yeah, I don't know how well this supercomputer is, because he can't even manage a dimmer switch, because he's not dimming the lights, he's turning them on and off.
Yeah.
I was like, he can't even manage a dimmer switch. But yeah, I just thought that was great.
And then they put him in a locker
next to a whole bunch of other supercomputers. I just love
their megalomaniacal computers.
Yeah. it was just a really fun episode. Good time. And as Rutherford asked, no, he did not. What is it? What Rutherford says? Has his kingdom come yet?
His kingdom come?
His kingdom did not come. He returned to being an engineer, and good episode.
I'd go to that planet.
No, Renfair planet?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'd definitely go to that planet. Like, he keeps on talking about Renfair.
I like that the ship looked like a dragon.
I love how he keeps talking about the Renfair planet, and it's like, yeah, I could be, you know, having adventures and fantasy adventures, but I'd rather be working on this ship. And I'm like, man, me and you.
To each his own.
The ship too. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind being a star in space. But I also wouldn't mind kicking it on Renfair planet for a bit, getting to live some fantasy world.
When we have time, we need to go over my Star Trek theory.
Okay.
Of why they had to reboot it.
Mm.
Right. Like why they like, because we're basically rebooted Star Trek.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And I don't know, I kind of discount Picard, the show.
Okay.
Because I think, like, you have to reboot it, because what happens after Deep Space Nine, we don't have time to go into it, but basically I think everybody just lives in holodecks.
Yeah.
And that's what the next show should have been, was like dealing with the fact that everybody's addicted to holodecks.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, we already saw some of the ludicrous stuff.
But that's a story for another time, because that's like a 30-minute adventure we don't have time for right now. I mean,
maybe we'd be recording a special bonus episode.
Oh, there we go.
But anyways, yeah. So that's our first three shows. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will get into some Stargirl.
Hi, this is Zach.
And this is Zoe, and we're from the Backlit
Cinema Podcast
with Zach and Zoe. And basically, what we do here is that we're a father and son team. We like to talk about movies that I love when I was growing up, and then I get Zach's impressions on these great movies. See, he's never seen these movies. These movies came out before he was born. So what do you think about the movie that we've seen so far?
They've been good so far. Yeah. Except for one.
So I'm batting like 999 something. We looked at movies like,
I believe it's like The Last Dragon is one of them.
Yeah, we looked at The Last Dragon. The Last Dragon was a great episode. Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. Sylvester Stallone movies. You know, all those great action mindless flicks from the early 90s. We also looked at some hard drama like Juice. You remember Juice?
Yeah, Juice. Demolition Man.
Oh, we did A Soldier Story.
Yeah, Soldier Story, Running Scared.
So we're doing this movies, we're talking about them, and we're having a great time, and we think that you'll have a great time too. So join us whenever you get the chance. So wherever you listen to podcasts, check out the Backlit Cinema Podcast with Zach and Zoe.
Hello, I'm Kai Bobby, co-host of the Rotten Treasure Podcast, where I talk with my friend Jim O'Donnell and a special guest about movie franchises that arguably went on a little longer than they should have. Hey Jim, what movies do we review?
Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Home Alone 3, Home Alone 4, Taking Back the House,
Home Alone, Holiday Heist. We review more than just Home Alone movies.
Tremors, Tremors 2, Aftershocks.
Do we have any guests? Do we have guests, Jim?
Scott Campbell, Robert and Donnell from Watching It, Sarah Carter.
Okay, how do people find us on the internet, Jim?
Follow us at Rotten_Treasure on Instagram, at Rotten Treasure on Twitter, Rotten Treasure on Facebook.
Okay, all right. You know what? That's enough of your list. So, folks, if you still want to find us, you can listen to us on your preferred podcast app, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Podbean.com, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, not SoundCloud.
And we are back, and it is time to get into some Stargirl, Robert.
Oh, shit, Yolanda.
Yeah.
Yolanda.
I've been waiting for this episode, honestly.
I feel like whoever's writing this show or something listens to our podcast, because just last podcast, we were like, we need to know more about what's going on with the Yolanda shit.
And yeah.
We unfortunately did not get anything about Joel McHale's character.
No.
And I feel like that's a tragedy.
Yeah.
I don't know why that isn't just like subtly in the background every episode.
I mean, is he just going to spring up at the end or something? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It does feel a little let down that we haven't seen him again. We are now past the halfway point because there's 13 episodes. So 6 left. We'll see what happens with him. I mean, it's going to be interesting these next 6. This is kind of wrap up talk, but it doesn't matter. These next 6, because also, like, yeah, we still don't know what's going on with Jade, you know, the Green Lantern chick. What's going on with the pin?
Yeah,
dude. Like, we saw him, and then they're like, okay, that's that. And so, like, yeah,
I feel like everyone should be freaking out about the pin.
Yeah,
you don't know who has that or what they're going to do, and the destruction it can cause. Yeah. Like,
I like they're. That's when they have said about this. So they're way, everybody on the hero side is way too nonchalant about everything.
Yeah.
The pin. Mephisto, or not Mephisto, Eclipso is literally out wandering around town. And they're like,
going about the daily lives.
Just day to day. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I get that, like, as Pat was saying earlier, that you do need to, you know, have a separation of, you know, yourself. But there are times where you put normal life on the back burner. And when Doomsday comes to Earth, Superman never goes, well, I'm still going to be Clark Kent. Like, no, it's time to fight Doomsday. There's no Clark Kent right now. There's none of that. You can't be doing that. There's times where you put your alter ego on the back burner. Yeah. And this is one of them. Like, Courtney should not be in summer school. Freaking Mike shouldn't be wandering the town. I mean, in this episode he wasn't, but still, Mike shouldn't be wandering the town on his own. All the kids should be just batting down the hatches and figure out what your next step
war
is.
War room or something.
Yeah, war room. Yeah. What's going on?
Dust off the league office.
Exactly.
Like
let's
that big round
down
table.
To business. Why is freaking Barbara at a freaking town hall meeting?
Yeah,
like, I'm sorry, no.
She's not at a town hall meeting.
She's at a
board meeting for the company of the evil guy she still works at for some reason.
Yeah.
I love the line that, like, the devil is real and he's in Blue Valley talking to the priest. Yeah. This priest must be like, this is some shit.
Well, I was like...
But I feel like she should just be like, I'm a superhero, and just be like, we got a specialist for that. I'm going to call him in.
Yeah. Well, my thing, I was like, meeting a demon in real life really would make church weird all of a sudden. We're just like, so all this stuff we've been
Eclipso
preaching.
Is not a demon. Maybe he is in this show, but
he's
in the comic book...
He's a fallen angel.
He's an embodiment of God's wrath.
He's God's wrath, but he went too far. And that's why we also have the Spectre, who is the new embodiment of God's wrath. But that priest, I give props to this priest throughout this episode. Because he's dealing with a lot with Yolanda, and then also with, which we'll talk about later, but with Yolanda's mom, I was like, thank you for
putting her in her place. Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Okay, so can we talk about this boardroom meeting with Barbara?
Yeah, let's talk about the boardroom.
Why is she in charge?
I mean, she wasn't. She just put forth a...
It seemed like she's at the head of the table.
I mean,
and everybody's
sitting
doing
at the head of the table, but the other lady was sitting also at the head of the table. But I wrote down that Barbara's plan is dumb.
Yeah.
Like, it's like literally...
Yeah, you don't sell stock.
Yeah, it's like, so literally they're trying to, like... The one lady, I'm not saying that you can't worry about another town, but the one lady's like, hey, this board, this company is for the betterment of this town, and we know we need to take care of it. We need to find a way to bring in profit. And then Barbara is like, why don't we liquidate our assets and use that to save this other town? And like, we won't be, and she even literally says, we won't be making a profit, but we'll free up cash. I'm like, what?
Yeah, doesn't understand economics at all. The moment you sell stock, that kicks in a lot of stuff. You're gonna have to pay taxes and all the not the dividends, but all the capital gains that you got. You'd never sell.
Yeah,
you never sell an asset because that is a tax burden. You leverage it. Mm-hmm. You take out a loan against it, or you collect dividends off of it, but you never ever sell it.
Yeah,
buy low, sell never.
I'm not an economics major. I've never been that much into it, but even I was like, that's a dumb plan. I was like,
and you certainly don't sell stock to prop up a failed business.
Yeah, a failed business that if it does succeed, won't benefit you anyways or form because it's in another city.
Yeah.
So one of the things that Pat and Courtney talk about that I actually really wonder, I mean, I'm sure they might explain more, but I'm like, why is Eclipso staying in Blue Valley?
Yeah. We just don't know what his deal is.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he getting revenge? Yeah. Is he wanting to take out the heroes that could possibly stop him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we just don't know what his motive is.
Yeah.
He's just pure evil and just, he's like, well, I'm here. I might as well wreck this town before I bounce off.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, he said, you know, they said that the longer he's out, the more powerful he gets.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I want to go straight to New York or do I want to fuck up this little town, Blue Valley, Nebraska first?
Yeah, but you also know that there's heroes out, I mean, to get you there.
Yeah.
So my thing is like, I maybe want to go.
Well, I'm assuming there's heroes elsewhere.
Yeah. They
because
definitely
they've
make
mentioned,
it clear.
Like, they've mentioned Batman, I think.
They've mentioned, I think they mentioned Superman also. But like, the universe, this universe definitely has heroes. And more prominent ones, but we don't know to what extent and what they're doing. Back with Barbara at the end of that meeting, so we see that the Shade... It looks like the Shade like maybe can't physically form or something. But also, like, I want to know who... Because the thing that he works with is Emily. And I'm like, who's Emily? I wonder. Is that because he was...
I think that's his daughter or something from back in time that is what Barbara looks like or something.
Oh, yeah. Because I was thinking, the thing is, I remember that they talked about Dr. McKnighter and losing his daughter. And that was one of the reasons why the Shade was going after Eclipso. So I wasn't sure if, like, maybe that's her. I don't know. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, there's still a lot of unanswered questions we don't have. We find out that the staff is self-healing. I kind of predicted last episode wrongly that that Joel McHale's Starman was going to come fix it and stuff like that.
I mean, you might still need to, because, I mean, the staff maybe won't get up to full strength in time.
Yeah.
Maybe they can really bring them in before the season wraps up.
Okay, we ready to talk about the dumbest shit ever?
What are we talking about? Are we talking about Courtney or are we talking about Yolanda, I guess?
We're talking about Pat.
Oh, you're jumping ahead to that. Then no, we're not ready to that because there's a few other things I want.
Oh, sorry. You know what? You're right because my notes were messed up. So I have in here twice, don't touch that.
Yeah.
And yeah, don't, you know what? If like a cloud monster appears in the ceiling and drips some ooze or blood or something onto the table, don't touch it. Don't touch it.
You know what's going to happen to you. I mean, all we know, maybe that.
What if Barbara becomes the Shade?
I was gonna say, what if I was like, maybe I was just about to say, maybe that would have turned her into the Shade. Would that be kind of cool?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got that scene at the diner with Bruce / Eclipso. And all that. And the main thing I have is I feel like everybody, I mean, yeah, it is very strange for a lady to pour coffee directly on a man, but everybody overreacted. Like they were like they were acting like he just got shot or something. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and she sent her home. And...
Yeah, sent her home. And then like Yolanda, when she was talking to Bruce and stuff, she's like, are you scared? Like, why would he be scared? A woman spilt coffee on a man. Like, no.
It happens.
Yeah. Like everybody overreacted about that situation. I was just like, calm down, folks. It's a little coffee. I know there's the whole story about the McDonald's coffee lady and how she got third-degree burns. And sure, that happened. But even if that did happen here, still need to calm down a bit. Yeah. Like,
can we talk about this diner for a second?
Okay.
Again, you and I both worked in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
This diner is slow as fuck.
Oh, it's dead.
How many waitresses do you need?
So Yolanda and the chick. There was another girl there, and they also had. I saw there was a male waiter up in there. So I'm like, you got four of them in a diner that had like three tables.
Yeah.
Three tables. And I'm just like, what the hell?
Yeah, that diner would only have maybe two waitresses.
Yeah, three tables is one waitress. You don't need.
You would have one behind the counter.
Yep.
One ringing people up.
Mm-hmm.
And one working the tables at the busy time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was not the busy time.
It's not even close.
By the way, we've seen a lot of episodes in this diner. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to have a busy time.
The busiest time they ever had was when they had the JSA had a team meeting in the diner.
Yep.
That was the busiest it's ever been. But yeah. But so right after this is because this is I just haven't done this with Courtney. Like I remember this. I get that Courtney is a teenage girl. You know, seeing all that stuff. And teenage, I mean, I was there. I've been there. You got your hormones. You like who you're going to like. But the fact that C is out and about, Cameron comes up behind her, and then she's like, no, I'm right where I need to be. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not anywhere you need to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One is A, no hanging out with the son of the man who you helped kill.
Yeah.
Because that's never going
to work. Yeah, there's no way this ends well.
And it's like there's no way it ever ends well. But the bigger
thing. Awkward conversation where you're like, yeah, I helped kill your father.
Yeah. Like I said, if you ever get serious, if you ever get truly serious, let's say and stuff, and you fall in love, one day you are going to have to tell him, hey, I helped kill your dad. Yeah. Like, you can't, if you truly love someone, you can't hold that away from them. And another reason why is like, as we're hitting on, she's like, Cameron's like, you need to go. And she's like, no, I'm right where I need to. Like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Eclipso is on the loose in Blue Valley. Yeah, it's not time to decorate for the 4th of July. This is the dumbest shit in the world. Like I said, once again, I get she's a teenage girl, but if I literally saw a demon come out of a crystal, murder two, maybe three people, and then flee into the night, and I have no idea where I am. I'm not worried about my love life or the 4th of July.
Well, she's definitely on edge, though, because I love all the scenes when it shows her just being reflexive.
Yeah.
Because he comes up behind her to surprise her, and she just throws him against the wall. I'm like, don't fuck with this bitch.
I guess he's reflexive, but it's still not time to fucking, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Your love life is on hold. There's a demon or the spirit of vengeance, corrupt spirit of vengeance, running through your town. Maybe put this on the hold. I'm sorry. We get a quick thing before we get to the real thing with Mike, but we get a quick thing with Mike, and then one thing I wrote down is that Mike is once again showing that the family needs to have some sort of like plan or something in place, because he cut to Mike and his dad, and then he's like, let's get to work and all this stuff, and like he's the only one who's like really driving home the point, like, we need to get prepared here, folks. Yep. I'm like, everybody else is so nonchalant about this. At least Mike gets it. But then Mike does something incredibly dumb later on. But still, Mike is the one person in the family who gets like, hey, this shit's serious.
Yeah.
Like, even I Pat.
I love that Mike's like, he's really struggling to like use the ratchet or the wrench or whatever. And like, and then Pat just comes over and just easily does it. Then he tightens it back up. And he's like, ah, ha, ha,
and then he's like, why don't you do it? He's like, because you need to learn. I'm like, I don't know if that's learning at that point.
Like, he's obviously the rent, the thing is bigger than him.
Mm-hmm. It's not like Mike's been working out.
He should be, though.
Yeah, he should be. He should, yeah. Hey.
He should be in martial arts right now.
Sportsmaster even pointed it out. He was like, I had to get him training. Sportsmaster is better at this than them. For crying out loud.
And he's like, no, we're going to keep him out. He's like, sure, buddy.
Yeah.
Sure, buddy.
I love that line. Like, even Sportsmaster knows that's the dumbest thing.
He's like, I've been doing this a while. Yeah. I know how this goes. how do you think I got here? What do you think my dad, Sportsmaster's dad, was doing? Yeah.
And even if they weren't training Artemis to be a villain, at least they know, you know, Artemis could handle herself in a fight if things go down.
Yeah.
Mike can't do nothing.
But okay. Finally, we get Brainwave action.
Yes.
And, you know, because they were kind of just playing with it before, but now for sure Brainwave is up in Leolana's head.
Exactly. I was like, is it really, or is it just her guilt? But, like, make it clear. I got to say, though, if I'm in my class and my dead ex-boyfriend starts messaging me, I'm probably going to bump, like, hit my friend's hand, like, hey.
You seeing this shit?
Yeah. Like, even though what we find out was just losing, but still, that would be like, instead of getting up to follow him, like, no, dead ex-boyfriend mentioned me, be like, hey, need, I know we're in the middle of class, but I need to talk. need to talk right now. Because it'd be strange for my ex-boyfriend to be messaging me. It's really strange for my dead ex-boyfriend to be messaging me.
By the way, I feel like there should be a clause that if your summer school teacher like dies or gets fucked up at school, you just get passed.
Yeah. I mean, for crying out loud, like, just give them some A's and tell them to study over the summer and we'll see you in the fall.
Like, I feel like they should be able to go like, look, I read this book. Let me take a test or something and get out of this. Like,
yeah. So, and this has nothing to do with the main overarching storyline or anything major. It's just one of the things like, not in my days So Lolanda's getting messages from Henry on her phone, but also you can tell that Courtney's messaging on her phone. And I was like, dude, when I was in class, if you pulled your phone out in class, your phone is gone.
Yeah.
I was like, what school is this?
Well, but that was 20 years ago.
I know. I guess things have changed.
It's a different time in 2021. Apparently. And they've also got the substitute teacher for summer school.
Principal. It's the principal.
Oh, was it the principal?
He's the new
principal,
but yeah.
Oh, well, then he should be laying down the law.
Exactly. He's the freaking principal.
And by the way, the principal doesn't run summer school. He doesn't know where their curriculum's at. Like,
he has teachers for that, Robert. but yeah, so C goes out. C sees, well, first she sees Brainwave, then sees, no, first she sees, gets messages from Henry, sees Henry. Interesting thing I thought was when Henry first turns around, and I guess it kind of correlates with when C killed Brainwave because he was in Henry's form. But did you see that Henry, even though he died for being crushed by rocks, his throat was also sliced. And like I said, I guess it's her memory of Brainwave as Henry.
Well, his throat could have gotten cut up when the roof fell on him or something.
She saw that. You don't see that he was buried in
rocks. Well, no, because she did cut his throat in his when Brainwave was pretending to be.
That's her memory of Henry as Henry. But yeah, and then like you said, we get the actual confirmation because he's like, I'm inside you. And I'm just like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
Brainwave cut off a little
takes
piece
control
of
a little bit. Like,
yep. And I mean, as we'll get to later, like he has a whole plan for how this is going to play out.
Yeah.
But let's get to the dumbest part of the show.
Get a safe.
I don't get it. Like, first off, like I said, Mike is dumb because
don't play with it.
You know, he's like, oh, that's cool. Like, and when he first picks it up, he's like, Dad, I'm like, or don't touch it. But maybe call your daddy, be like, why is this on the table? But then, like, he starts playing with it, and I'm just like, evil crystal that a freaking evil being came out of. Maybe don't mess around with it. And then, what is it? I literally wrote down the two things that he says is, when Pat comes in after Mike gets covered in leeches and stuff, is the first thing he's like, don't touch those ever. And I'm like, then why the hell did you just have him sitting on the table in a napkin?
Yeah.
Like, and the other thing he says the other thing that makes me mad is he says, I'm hoping they still are the weakness. And I'm like, okay, so if you think these are the most valuable thing, like let's say not just because they're dangerous, but if you truly think this might be Mephisto or Eclipso's weakness, why are they sitting on the table with a napkin? You need to have those, like, you know, what if, you know, Mike, and not even doing something.
What if Zeke finds this
shit? Yeah, Zeke stumbles in and, I don't need these. Those in a trash can. You just lost your only weapon against Eclipso because he put them in a napkin on the table. Like, I just, Pat frustrates me so much with how bad he is at superheroing.
And that's maybe, why he wasn't even sidekicked.
Maybe that's why he was always stripesy and, like, he never upgraded or anything because this is like, you are bad at this. You are so bad at this. It is. Oh, it's
they're like having a vote to see if they want to induct new members, and they're like, what about Stripesy? He's like, he's too dangerous.
Yeah,
he leaves shit laying around all the time.
I came home, I found Lex Luthor's death ray lying on the dining room table.
So we finally get like a JSA meeting, and they finally come out that Yolanda killed Brainwave, which I thought they already knew that.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I guess it was just Courtney.
But man, that this actress nailed that whole scene.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm going to just have, you guys can't do it. I'm just going to have to kill people. Like, I'm going to have to be the one.
Pointing out some very valid stuff with Rick and all that. But I wrote down, Beth really needs to learn how to read the room.
Yeah,
like, I'm not saying that you have to agree that she did the right thing to kill Brainwave, even though I'm not sure how else she would have gotten out of that circumstance. But the thing is, it's like, you can tell that Yolanda is going through, like, she even says, like, I'm a monster and stuff. She's going through some very emotional stuff. She's in a very vulnerable state right now. Maybe now's not the time to put more doubt in her. Maybe you talk her up or try and get her to calm down. And then later you bring up that, maybe killing people wasn't the right thing to do. But not right now. So, like, I mean, and it goes exactly as, you know, it should with her. Like, yeah, Beth just basically goes, I don't know. Next thing you know, Yolanda's off the deep. And I'm like, whoa, when people are standing on the edge of the cliff, that's where you got to rein it in.
Beth is about to get her comeuppance, though.
Yeah.
She about to get fucked with hard.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Yeah, Eclipso's on her ass.
On the like, front lawn.
That's going to be a next episode, though.
Yep. But yeah, one thing that Yolanda says, and I'm like, I don't know, though, is she's like, I'm going to have to be the one to kill Eclipso. I'm like, I got to be honest with you. I don't know if you can.
I don't think she can.
I mean, she doesn't have any special powers, really, other than, I mean, she has some, you know,
something tells me stabbing him is not going
to
do this.
Exactly. I was like, I don't think you, like, she's like, I'm pretty sure you can't. Like, I don't think you actually need to worry about it this time.
And then they have the family meeting where they're talking about Yolanda. And then poor Mike. Mike's just like, can I get some help too? I didn't mean to kill Icicle.
But once again, no, Mike, you can't. You're not important.
Just ignore that shit. He should be in counseling.
Yeah. Because we get to just see how in control Brainwave was. Because about to say, the part where she goes and admits to the priest that, but it turns out, because I was like, oh, snaps. He actually admitted to the priest that she murdered somebody, but it was all losing by Brainwave, which kind of sucks. Because I thought that would have been interesting to see how the priest would have handled that. But like, you did what now? and then like, we see Brainwave in full effect. And you're getting weaker because of your guilt, and I'm taking over. And I'll be back, but I would think it's interesting, you know, be a chick all of a sudden. But hey, you'll deal with it.
Would be interesting.
I wonder how, like, I mean, I guess, like you said, he transferred his mind, so I guess, and his power is in his mind. Because I was like, would he have his full power?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I would imagine he would have to be in the body of, like, it would be a genetic thing of some sort.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, so how did he get his powers again? I forgot. I mean, I know he did like some experiments. Did he take like some substance or?
There was something that happened, and I thought it was odd that it would have transferred to his son.
Well, unless it was something that changed him genetically, but then once again, that would go more with your side of things of him being in Yolanda's body wouldn't give him his power.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just interesting, but I mean, he's definitely got powers over Yolanda because he is screwing with her hard.
He's going to lose, though.
Well, of course he's going to lose.
She's going to win through the power of faith or something.
friendship, because maybe Courtney will actually support her finally. And actually, that's what I forgot is... when Yolanda and Courtney, after, you know, Courtney shows up at the church and Brainwave stops his attack. See, Yolanda finally says the one thing that I asked since the very first season. Yolanda's like, why did you pick me?
Yeah.
And Courtney doesn't answer because I was like, there is no, like, if we go back to season one.
Yeah, randomly.
She just fixated on Yolanda. It's like, you're Wildcat now. She didn't even know Yolanda when she made her Wildcat. And so
she looked her up in the yearbook and was like, she can hit things.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, Courtney, answer the question. Because it's like, I've been wondering that since, I mean, did it, I mean, kind of, not really, but did it work out? Yes-ish, but also no. But But still, it's like, yeah, this is fluke that you just said. This girl's going to be Wildcat. Why? Why? Give me one reason why. Give Yolanda one reason why.
Yeah.
But yeah, Yolanda throws in the towel, which obviously, you know, that's not the end of it. And then, yeah, like I said, the last scene we get, which I like the actor, even though he hasn't said much, but I liked him in the very little skit we got to see the first time he showed up, the kid Bruce.
Yep.
But I hate this weird laugh. It just doesn't sound menacing, and it doesn't sound right. It just sounds like this weird. But yeah, the last scene we get is
Bruce. It's supposed to be weird and creepy, and
but it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not even weird and creepy. It's just like awkward. At least when I hear it, like they did at the end of last episode, they did way too much of it. Actually, as he's walking down the street, and then he laughs once while he's sitting in Best Yard. But yeah, I don't. I like the kid. He definitely has an element of creepiness to him, but they need to work on that laugh.
Yeah,
which I mean they can't because it's already all filmed and stuff. But yeah, that laugh is weird.
You can
change
anything, Donnell.
Yeah, and post just go in there. But yeah,
there's like there was like some show like How I Met Your Mother or something where they green screened all the advertisements on walls and stuff in buildings.
Yeah,
and then like as they syndicated the show, they continued to resell the ad space and just digitally put in new ads, new product placements.
That's smart, honestly. That's
so I'm sure they could fix a laugh.
Yeah, they could. They could. I mean, they're not going to because I guess they have been listening to the podcast. They heard us talking about We Need Your Law. Yeah, they gave us this episode.
Next episode, there'll be a new laugh. That's the watching it guarantee.
Oh, great. Yeah, no. Yeah. But yeah, like, good episode. Yeah. A lot of growth. And
fantastic episodes for all the shows this week. And again, check out Foundation.
Yeah.
If you have HBO Max, check out Babylon 5.
If you got Netflix, if you don't have Netflix, who the hell are you? But honestly, check out Squid Game. I think it looks good.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
It was twisted but good. Yeah, that is it for this week's episode. Robert, where can I find us?
You can email us watchingitpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on our website, watchingitpod.com. There we go.
Hey,
yeah, hey. I'm nailing this. You can find us on Instagram at Watching It Podcast. You can also find us on our Patreon. Patreon.com/watchingit.
Yep.
Where else can they find us on it?
And you can always catch our tweets at Watching It Pod. I throw up our information about our episodes, and there will definitely be some stuff up this week because this is just the first of many for this week. Okay, the first of three, not many. But yeah, we're going to be releasing a couple episodes this week. Definitely check out Twitter to see when those are dropping. Give us those ratings and reviews. And thanks for listening. Bye.